this meeting to order.
Exactly.
That was my first gaveling ever, and you were all here to witness that. How did I do? Perfect, like, contact?
Nice, strong gavel.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
No, it's the first meeting they want to make confidential.
So,
we have the last resolution on this, but for the
moment, we're going to, and I'm going to talk really slowly.
Why are you looking at me like that?
Thank you all for being here. I think you do, most of you know who I am. I'm Eve Walter, new to the county legislature and excited to be the chair of this committee. So I will start with a motion to approve the minutes from December 9th.
Moved.
Second?
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Now I sign this apparently and hand it over. Okay. So before I get to the resolutions, because this is the first meeting of this new year, I wanted to give a chance for any of the guests to, if they want to introduce themselves, if they want to talk at all about things that they're looking forward to for the year, in, I'd say, 10 sentences or less. So who would like to go?
My name is Steve Peterson. I'm the Director of Emergency Services, and I'm super excited about building out a public safety radio system for emergency services within the county, which was recently passed by the legislature in December.
Great. That was definitely less than 5 sentences.
Less than 5 seconds.
Okay. You want to go?
I'm Figueroa Sheriff, and with all the new laws that were enacted in January, we're in adjustment mode from the DA's office on to the jail, and we're looking forward to working together with you to solve some of the problems once the dust settles.
Sounds good.
Nancy. Nancy Schmidt, I'm the probation director, and I think it's important that everyone knows that we're not just probation. We also have the Crime Victims Assistance Program as part of our department, Stop DWI as part of our department, community service, pretrial release. I'm sure I'm forgetting somebody in that mixture, but yes. And the restorative justice center.
Right.
but we have quite a few units under us, and so we've got a lot going on.
That's great.
Mario Taliaferro, PBA president for the Sheriff's Office Roadside, and I'm just looking forward to continuing to build my relationships with community leaders and enhance communication.
Cool.
Eric Benjamin, congratulations. Working with this body in particular, we've developed some really good relationships. So in order to know us a little bit better, you know, we make offers to come out, come visit the jail, come visit our operations or our patrol, and get a little bit of better sense of what we actually do on a day-to-day business.
That's great.
But I just have to say that working with everybody on and off from these meetings has been great.
Cool.
Good evening.
Everybody. Introduce yourself and anything you want to tell us about what you're looking forward to for this new year, 2020.
So I'm Dave Clegg. I'm the new DA of Ulster County. We are working very hard to bring our office into the 21st century of discovery law and bail reform, etc. There are some issues tonight that we'll talk more about. We were fortunate to be part of the Intimate Partner Violence Intervention Program here in Kingston, and we have lost the funding for that. So that was part of what you were going to approve. I've been in touch with the state DCJS, and they are saying that we're not going to get that money. But anyway, we'll talk more about that.
Yeah, when we
get it. It's a really important program. Otherwise, I'm overjoyed to be here, working with everybody. I know we've all had contacts, and we'll continue to have contacts to try and make our community safer and more just and better.
Great. Anything from the executive that you want to throw in that you're looking forward to? The two of you, John, Mark.
Yep. So, I mean, John oversees most of the departments on this. I'm here to discuss. There is a couple public works projects, but look forward to committee has always been a productive one in past years as far as working on some key initiatives with public safety.
Great.
Yeah, Tom Cajun, League of Women Voters, very interested in substance abuse, especially adolescent marijuana use in the county.
All right. Thanks, John. All right. So we're going to start with the resolution number 16. Can I hear a motion to open the discussion?
I'll move it.
Second.
All right. So is there any discussion? This is the appointing and reappointing members to the Ulster County Fire Advisory Board. Is there any discussion?
I assume we have resumes.
Do you need my resume?
No, I'm not saying. I'm sure they were turned in. No? Nobody?
For all the old members?
These are mostly old members? Okay.
That all was provided from Chairman Banks, and you'll see there's a couple of vacancies. I think they're listed at the end, the City of Kingston and
New Paltz and Plattekill.
So if those are new members, then I think they'll provide at least a letter from the fire company.
Okay.
So I have. I'll move it.
Right? So motion to approve?
Yep.
Second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. So I'm going to hold resolution number 31 because Andy Kossover will be showing up at some point. He had some things he had to do beforehand, and he will be flying in at some point. So we're going to move on to resolution number 32, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an agreement with the New York State Division of Criminal Justice Service for Project GIVE with the Ulster County Sheriff. A motion to open for discussion?
Move.
Second?
Second.
Okay. Any discussion?
It's a really good program, by the way.
Okay.
It's important, and we have an ADA who is supported by this program, and it's to stop gun violence in our community, and we want to continue that.
And as I understand, so the funding went through to the DA and probation back in November, and this is the sheriff's portion of the state.
Right, I see. So we have an investigator assigned to the DA's office, and it's a guns involved violence elimination initiative.
So do you, you don't have a little yellow tag, but do you, one of the things, I'm a very data-centric person, as many of you in this room probably already know, and so when it's possible, this is just my time to open it up, it's not really referring to this one particularly, but when it's possible, I really want to start collecting data on outcomes that each of these groups, each of these organizations, all of you are producing. Oftentimes, you're already reporting it to someone else, and so that's the easiest stuff. And I'm going to bring it up when I do see it, when I see that you're already reporting to someone else, to just ask for the same data to come here so that there can be some way of understanding who we're reaching, how much impact we're having. In this case, is there any kind of data connection? Like, are there some expected?
This is the going through agreement. It's a grant that they give funding to offset the cost of one of our investigators that's assigned to the district attorney's office.
Right, but the answer may be no. But do they expect certain types of any kind of deliverable, any kind of numerical deliverable, like a certain number of?
I believe the DA's office and. I don't know if you would have that. I don't know that. All I do is...
The answer could be no again. Right. I'm just curious.
But as far as we're concerned, it's a grant that they give us to offset the cost of one of our investigators.
Okay.
I don't remember seeing outcomes as far as...
That's fine. That's fine. I mean, some of these times there just isn't any. This is how we're going to learn. Jonathan?
No, I was thinking about something else, but actually I'll just ask the different question. Do any organizations in our county receive SNUG funding?
Yeah, I thought that was on the GIVE one. Isn't that attached
to
the GIVE?
That's why I was wondering. For some reason, I thought there was no.
Because
no,
the SNUG goes with the GIVE.
That's what I always thought, that it was a combined.
Sorry.
Okay. So that might have
happened. But I thought that was number 32. Isn't 31 also allows immigrants to access legal services?
Well,
31 is the one with the public defender, which we're not doing.
Oh, okay. We're on 32.
Yeah, I was
sorry. That's why I was lost.
In the past,
okay.
When I read about Snug, you also read about Give in the same.
Well, yeah, you should look into the Snug portion.
So one of the things that Give is an evidence-based program that comes out of DCJS, and there's several different techniques that are offered, and and each local jurisdiction picks what ones they want to do that are appropriate for their jurisdiction. So for the last several years, we've been focusing actually on domestic violence, and that was one of the, it's a specific population topic. There's all sorts of different methodologies, but we're not, as far as I know, nobody's using SNUG.
Okay.
Here. Right,
so can you explain in terms of domestic violence how this is working?
So I can explain for our department because we each contribute to the our own piece to the whole grant, but for probation, several years ago when they were looking at the data, the gun-involved violence, Ulster County has high numbers, and particularly our grant is for the city of Kingston, but of assaults, aggravated assaults, and not necessarily fatalities, where other counties, it's more about fatalities, and ours was gun and knife violence, and they were finding that more than half were domestic violence, so they started gearing towards more attention. So our two staff that are a piece of them is funded are specialized domestic violence probation officers, so they have specialized caseloads, and they're part of the IPVI. So we use our GIVE funding to support the program that the district attorney was talking about earlier.
So, and forgive my ignorance, but I remember several years ago there was an issue where officers couldn't have access, didn't have easy access, or some officers, depending on which precinct, to whether, if they were going to a DB call, whether there was a gun owner in the household. Is that different now, or is that still a problem? Like, so if, would any officer from any of the precincts be able to identify the gun data, or is that still not?
I mean, unless they specifically request that information, like we control the information on gun permits in the county, and we're able to pull that up. But unless somebody specifically asks for that, correct me if I'm wrong, no.
So an officer from Kingston could be going to a house and wouldn't necessarily know if there was a gun owner in that house?
Unless they call us and contact us in advance. There would be no reason to.
Well, except to know that there's a gun in the house.
911, often their dispatchers ask if there's any weapons involved.
Right. If it's a domestic type incident, we're going to ask the question whether or not there's any weapons involved. And the answer to that will be relayed to the responding officers.
Right. You're asking who? The victim?
The caller.
Or the caller.
The caller.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, that's different to me than the fact of an officer showing up at a house and not knowing whether there's a gun in that house or not. But we can table that for another time, but I think that that's an important thing for in DV, given the circumstance that...
So the only thing that we would be able to offer is maintaining the pistol permits, but
rifles,
shotguns...
Granted, it might not cover everything, but okay. We get another conversation, maybe a whole big DV conversation another time, but okay. So any other discussion? Okay, so a motion to approve Resolution 32.
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay. I promise not to keep talking about everything. This is the first meeting. I'm getting to know this stuff. Okay, the next we have is Resolution Number 33, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an agreement with the New York State Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Services for participation in the 2019-20 Public Safety Answering Point PSAP Operation Grant for Emergency Communication, Emergency Management. And this is a flow-through federal money to the state, to the county? So
it's a state grant.
State grant.
Second. I'm assuming you're moving the discussion.
Yeah. Yeah, we only have to move it once.
Oh, okay. Yeah. At the very beginning?
Yeah, we don't have to move the second time. Once it's moved, you can
we
just can, call
we
the
always
vote.
Have discussion?
Yeah, or you can just call the vote. After
you don't have
moved.
To have a discussion. If
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Except these are all kind of new, so I kind of want...
Oh, no. I'm saying once you move the discussion, then you can, after, you can ask for the discussion.
You don't need another
motion.
Once
the discussion's over, you can just, you have the right to just call for the vote. Instead of a second.
Call for discussion. Okay, got that. So, any discussion? And you don't have to fill in, or if there's something you want to talk about?
I mean, it's a public safety answering point, which is the 911 center. This funding is for the operations of the 911 center, the communication center. So we currently use the funding for personnel.
Great.
For the staff.
Any other discussion? Motion to approve. Resolution number 33.
The motion.
Second?
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Next, we have resolution number 34, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an agreement with the New York State Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Services Office of Interoperable and Emergency Communications for the 2019 Statewide Interoperable Communications Grant, amending the 2020 Ulster County Budget Department Emergency Communication Emergency Management. So this goes together.
This is a separate grant.
So,
I just want to hear Steve speak on it.
Okay. So go ahead. Tell us all about this.
So this is a interoperable emergency communications grant. The state has, with the 911 funding, the surcharge funding, they broke it up into two programs. One is a formula-based program, and the other is a targeted-based program. This is a formula-based. So what that is that every county within the state gets a percentage of the money based on how they score within the formula at the state level. So this funding here is going to go towards the public safety radio system that was just approved recently.
Very exciting. All right. Any other discussion?
Yeah, it was 8.4.
Didn't have any motions that time. Motion to discuss. So moved.
Second that.
Thank you. Is there any other discussion? No? All right. Motion to approve.
Make that motion.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. So, again, I'm just going to reiterate that any kind of data that you're collecting related to either of those grants, if you can just share them with the committee, that would be really great. You don't have to go beyond what you already have to collect and deliver. Okay. And then this one is the one that goes with number 33, so resolution number 35, amending capital project number 482, a countywide radio system for Department of Emergency Communication and Emergency Management. Motion for discussion?
Moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Motion to approve. Resolution number 35?
Moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Oh, is 37 gone?
No. 37.
It's not in my pile.
It's one piece of paper.
Maybe it might have been.
Maybe.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you had two secrets in there.
Thank you. Okay, next we have resolution number 37, declaring Ulster County's intent to act as lead agency under New York State Environmental Quality Review Act for the construction of a public safety radio tower and appurtenances to be located at 35 Quarry Road, Saugerties, New York, Emergency Communications, Emergency Management.
I'm moving for a discussion.
Second.
Thank you. Yeah, so this is also going into other committees. Is there anything in particular anyone wants to talk about?
I was asked to approach our town supervisor, the town of Saugerties, Fred Costello, and he polled his board, and he had no problem with Ulster County being the lead agency in this matter at all. You know, takes work. It's just something they want to really move forward because it's desperately needed. Yeah. That tower is needed. The service up that way is horrible. Perfect.
I know there was a question in another committee about who the involved parties would potentially be. Town of Socrates would be one, and D.C. would be another. But that's normally, once we are lead agency and do the study, those involved parties come out.
Right,
then.
Right. Okay, understood. Any other discussion? A motion to approve resolution number 37.
Moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Next, we have resolution number 38, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an agreement with the New York State Division of Criminal Justice Services for participation in a Crimes Against Revenue Program, CARP, with the district attorney. Motion for discussion?
Moved.
All right. Any discussion? Dave, do you want to talk about this at all?
I'll just say it's extremely important to our office. We have, once again, a designated ADA that has a really high-level competence in the area of financial crimes, and that person comes to our office because of this CARP. And there's a lot of connected crimes that deal with anything that might affect New York State interests, so that it allows us a wider field of investigation and competency. So anyway, it's very important to us. We've got a really excellent ADA who's been working here for, I think, over 10 years, and I would like that to continue.
That's great.
Very good.
And this is annual, and it's passed through money. Any other discussion? Motion to approve resolution number 38?
No.
Sorry, yes, 38.
Johnson moved it. I'll second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Next, we have resolution number 39, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an agreement with the New York State Division of Criminal Justice Service for the Byrne-JAG interest grant. So I guess this is what you started talking about before. Sorry, motion for discussion?
Move.
Second. Okay.
Yeah, this has a little bit of history. So, and I spoke to the head of DCJS today, just to get on top of this. So this is funding that comes for the Department of Justice from the federal government. And apparently the state has only gotten paid up through 2017 at this point. So they still haven't been paid for 2018-2019. The federal government is now imposing a requirement that the states that receive this funding have to comply with all immigration enforcement tactics of the federal government, so that New York State does not qualify for that. So I've gotten a letter from DCJS saying that this funding is going to end as of February 28th of 2020. Now, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't approve this. There may be other resources we can draw on. There may be something else that they're willing to do. At this point in time, they've told me that the funding isn't coming through. There may be other funding from the GIVE grant. There may be other funding from other places that we'll explore. I'm hoping the county will support this program. For those who don't know what this is, it's an intimate partner violence intervention program, which identifies early on people who are having abuse problems in their home. Domestic violence is going on at a low level. We have people who go out to them, communicate with them, give them warnings, give them support, give them counseling opportunities, try and intervene in that escalation of the process of domestic violence when it goes from a low level to a higher level to a violent level. So that's what they've been doing. It's been out of Kingston with Chief Tinty's the other side of this right now. It's a program that's only been in place for 2 years at this point. It's been making progress. And so anyway, that's what this is. I'm hoping that the county at some point is willing to pick it up and continue it. It is preventative. It is something that intervenes in the process of escalation of domestic violence. It's a restorative justice approach in a way that it actually gets the people who are involved to get engaged in the community and other resources that we can stop this kind of violence from going on. So it's all good. But right now I have to let you know that we don't have the funding to continue it. And I'm hoping the county will support us in continuing the program.
I know this program pretty intimately. And I'll add to what you've said is that it recognizes that intimate partner violence can be at one of three levels, very low early, low level of violence, moderate, and extreme, and recognizes that the response to both the offender and the victim needs to vary depending on which level it is. And this is actually an empirically based program that was designed by in John Jay and tested a little bit. We were hoping to test it out even more in terms of its efficacy here because it was tested in a small place in like Pennsylvania that didn't have the size that we had. But, you know, it is a very innovative response to intimate partner violence, recognizing that it's not a one-size-fits-all. And again, it's not just for the offender, but recognizing that how you respond with a victim needs to vary depending on the severity of the incidents. I hope that this is not true. I mean, it's not just for Ulster County, but for, you know, so basically Burn JAG is a level of funding that only a state can apply for if you're going to commit to doing things related to intimate partner violence. There's certain grants that you can apply for your state versus a county versus a smaller entity, and so it would be really devastating if this is, you know, comes to pass for us and for other people because that was a really important funding stream. So keep us informed. Any other discussion?
Yeah, I do. It's just it's a numbers situation, so maybe Mark, perhaps. And aside from it being, you know, a good program or what have you, and I apologize that I'm not looking at my iPad, but I did have some notes here because I was actually confused about the appropriation for this. The dates are confusing to me because it's saying it was funded 3/1/2019 through 2/28/2019. Are those monies already appropriated?
I'd have to go back and look, but my guess is that that's actually a month off of the state fiscal.
And not only that, but the funding amount doesn't line up with the funding period. You see what I'm saying, Jonathan?
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that it's not a filing situation. If what you're saying, I'm not saying that it's not, but that we didn't actually just miss a deadline for this program.
I believe from what I'm hearing, that the 2019 funding hasn't arrived yet, but it will.
Okay.
2020 funding.
And we filed on time for the 20?
Yes. Oh, the 20 is not, well, that's what's been discontinued.
They discontinued it, so you weren't even allowed to apply?
They alerted us that they're going to discontinue for 2020.
Because I was on the site, and I saw a deadline for the 20, so, but I don't know. But
this is not the only funding stream that this is happening.
I get that.
Where the federal government is saying if you're not going to comply with ICE detainers, then your funding is going to be
at risk. So that date might just be for those states that are.
Like, I had a footnote to what Mark just said. We kind of went through this last year, and the federal government changed their mind. So the SCAP grant, which is the state criminal illegal alien program, is when aliens or undocumented or arrested for felonies and they're in our jail, the federal government actually funds us and is a paroling them because they're convicted felonies until they get deported back to their country after they do their time locally here. And so we actually initially they stated they weren't going to fund it because New York State decided that the DMV we can't give information to ICE, we're not cooperating with ICE, but that has since changed and we did receive that grant.
But what's the filing date?
I have to look back up. I was looking into what it was, but so the 109.94. Actually, the total amount, though, we still are expecting to be reimbursed from the state at least for this current amount.
This is
and
not.
Then the 35 is what you're saying
for
would
February,
be off the table.
In January, probably.
January. I believe both those amounts are for 2019. That would make sense because the total grant is $144,000 plus. So I think both those numbers are for 2019.
Reflecting what's already
in there. And that was what we were hoping we'd get in 2020, which we've just been told.
DCJS typically does it that way. You have to show the deliverables, and then based on how much you've served, they pay you. So if you don't reach those deliverables, they pay you less.
Okay.
They tie in the funding with that often. So it's possible it's coming in at the end. Are you then not submitting for 2020 at all, or?
Well, no, I've been in contact with Bert. One of the questions is, it's in our budget. right? So we have two employees that are funded by this. We have a manager of the program and an investigator that goes out to contact all these people who are being called out as domestic violations throughout the this area in Kingston. So those two people are on our payroll, and I'm hoping that the county can continue to meet that payroll throughout the end of this year while I go out and seek more funding to supplement what we have to do to keep this program going.
So I guess that's what I have a question about is what exactly are we approving then here? Because
you're just for last year.
Oh, we're approving last year's authorization. That makes sense. Thank you. Okay. Yeah.
And that's the little bit of 20, I mean, I don't know. That's why I was confused by the dates and the numbers myself.
This also a technicality. It has Minority Leader Ronk wrongfully as the chair.
Where?
As the grantee at the bottom of the contract.
Oh, on the contract.
Oh, that's what it was. He was probably.
No, because this was...
Oh, yeah, I see that.
No, this is from...
It's on the page 1 of 26.
Oh.
It's right from 2000, March of 19.
I guess because it goes back thing. To back when that was...
Yeah.
It's no, they just take a long time to update
it. No, they just carried
it
over and they didn't update it.
Okay. Wait, you're saying March of 19, that would have been the case, though. March
I don't
of 19,
know why this
would have
is
been
in
the
minority.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to...
But it says here, he's listed as chair.
Oh, he's listed as
chair. Yeah, he's listed as the grantee, as chair, as it goes to the chair.
What's the agreement? The agreement is to accept the reimbursable money?
You author... Only the chair is authorized to enter into intermunicipal agreements in
this instance. We're giving the chair permission to...
So you're authorizing the chair to execute the agreement.
Okay.
Sign it.
Right, to execute the agreement. But it's an agreement to accept the reimbursable money for the year for 2019.
Correct. Yeah, from March of 2019 till the end of this month.
Okay. Any other discussion? So I think we'll just have to, well, let me first end this. So motion to approve resolution number 39?
I'll move it.
Second? In favor?
Aye.
Obviously, on moving forward on funding, this is a whole other conversation that needs to be had. Yeah, and there's people. Are both of those employees full-time on this?
No, the investigator is part-time. The manager is full-time.
Is that Cassandra still?
Yes, that is.
Okay. Next, we have resolution number 40, amending capital project number 519, Ulster County Law Enforcement Center Energy Upgrades, amending the 2020 capital fund budget from the Department of Public Works for new boilers and...
Move it for discussion.
Thank you. Any discussion?
This is the gas line from the actual, from the street, which Central Hudson put in to the law enforcement.
Right.
So on our property.
It is something that started last year.
Any other discussion? Motion to approve resolution number 40?
Moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Great. Okay. Moving right along. What are we doing with time?
We're good. You're good.
Okay. When I see someone looking at their watch, I wonder. Okay. Resolution number 62, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into the by the county by, from Family of Woodstock with the Department of Probation. Thank you. Any discussion? Nancy, do you want to talk about this at all, the Evolve program?
62 is the Evolve program.
Evolve, yeah.
And really just a pass-through. That's our... We handle the contract, but we don't run that program.
Right.
I assume everyone's familiar with Evolve. We've been funding them for many, many years. It's a batters program that is operated through Family Woodstock. And, of course, we have new people to attend.
So are you or is Department of Probation or Family Woodstock responsible for the deliverables for the out for whatever kinds of deliverables you have to do.
It's entirely family and Woodstock. They submit the numbers to us and the how many people went through, how many dropped out, all that kind
so
of
stuff.
So
can you share that, please? Thank you.
I don't have it with me.
Oh, not at this moment.
Okay.
Just an environment of sharing. Okay. Any other discussion on this one? Okay. A motion to approve resolution number 62?
Move.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
61, Paul.
61 I have crossed out.
That was withdrawn by sponsors. Alcohol monitoring systems.
So was because it wasn't year necessary. Versus 1 year.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah, right.
Very important. It's just that it was, Sandy was trying to save time and put 2 years instead of one extension.
I thought it was, you want to speak with Vicki, because I thought that it was determined that the one amendment didn't need to come here, the amendment.
For 1 year? Oh, because it's not $50,000.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense.
Right.
Got it. I didn't know that.
Okay, next we have resolution number 63, approving the execution of a contract amendment in excess of $50,000 entered into by the County Family of Woodstock Department of Probation. So this one is the 180. Motion to open discussion?
Moved.
Second. Okay. Any discussion on this? So, again, I would like to see, it would be great to see data on the outcomes.
A little bit on this.
Absolutely.
A tiny bit. So 180 is the program, the restorative justice program that we've been doing for many years. We expanded it to add the Raise the Age kids in 2018. And the data that I have with me today, because I don't have the final 2019 data, is the first year of Raise the Age. They did 60 juvenile community accountability boards, which is the group that meets with the youth and victims if they want to participate. But the board serves as the voice of the community, and the youth are then given a contract that says maybe that they do some community service or write a letter of apology, whatever is determined based on that particular behavior. And so they've been very productive. They also, in our last grant for 2019, we added for them to do training because that was a big need to get restorative justice training. So they've done training in schools, they've done training for our department, they did a big volunteer training last year, I think it was in March, and again, I could get you more specifics.
That would be great, like which schools, and also, how do you know how that number changed with Raise the Age from the prior year? How many kids were served prior?
I don't remember.
So when you can, that'll be great. John?
Also, I remember when we amended, made the change to 180, it was also correlated with the former executive's local law for cyberbullying, if you remember. And I'd be curious, and because it was going to serve as a good point for the cyberbullying law for mediation, I'm just going to be curious too how many, if and how many teens have utilized the 180 program as part of the county cyberbullying law.
I will see if I can.
Yeah, I don't check that off the top, but I'd be curious if that would be, because that was a long discussion.
I don't think we've had a lot of cyberbullying.
Okay, I'll just be curious. More so from our end on that.
I will say any of the cases, for the most part, that go through the family courts, just on the judge's own motivation, they ensure that any of the kids go through the 180 program before they go any further. So
whether it's
cyberbullying or any other kind of offense, I just don't think we've seen a lot of cyberbullying.
Yeah, that was more curious because that was going to be a main point for that.
I mean, we can get that number
and
from
what,
the county attorney.
What was the method for reporting cyberbullying? I mean, for typically 180, it was referral from police officers in schools. So what is the cyberbullying method?
Well, no, 180 is also through the family court process for JDs as well as an alternative.
Right, but where does the cyberbullying, like how would you know about the cyberbullying?
It's a charge. It can be a charge.
So someone would have to report
that
charge.
They could be charged, and with any offense, any behavior, we did allow, as you mentioned, it could be a direct referral from the police. So we could get
from the school resource.
Someone decide, a police officer decide they're not going to do an appearance ticket to us at probation for the case to potentially go to family court. They could decide to do a direct referral. We count those because if they didn't, they would come through us anyway. So we want to support
any
diversion efforts that are out there.
I agree 100%. I guess my point was more when it's a referral either through the police or the schools, it's because it's the action has come to the attention of police or schools. I'm curious how an action of cyberbullying, who it comes to the attention of, our schools actively informing kids that there's a that's what I'm wondering is how does that reporting process, how is the expectation that that would even happen, that a kid would
know that they were
cyberbullied? Who to even call? No, they know if they're cyberbullied, but that they wouldn't know what to do with that information necessarily. Like they, you know, are they this little ding saying I should call the police or I should tell my school, or are there efforts to sort of guide them on how to proceed if they're bullied?
There was an educational piece that was done when the law took effect. The other thing I'm thinking is that sometimes it's rises to the level of a pretty serious crime, and so those we are seeing about once a month, like a school threat. It's, I would consider
that the school is being
threatened. I'm gonna shoot the kid sitting in front of me, kind of.
Right, which is like a school.
So while that might fall under cyberbullying when they post it on social media, I think it tips the above that. So it falls under laws that already existed before the cyberbullying law, and that is handled very, very carefully and with a lot of.
But we should be able to get the numbers of referrals from, like, 2180 from wherever.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just more so on our, because that was a county implemented.
And I would say, for me, this is especially important that we understand the current reach of the 180 program, including what schools are in it, what police precincts are involved in it, and maybe even some outcomes. I don't know if you're following in recidivism or anything, but in my mind, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, you know, this is the crux of the restorative justice that we have, and if we want to develop and build on restorative justice, knowing where we are now is necessary so that we know what we need to do to go forward, because this seems to be the only pathway right now to our restorative justice. Personally, I feel like there's a lot more we should be doing with restorative justice. I don't know if it will end up being another path or whether it's an expansion of this path, but knowing first what we're already achieving would be very helpful to know how we can achieve more. This is not saying that I appreciate what 180 is doing. I just think that I'm hoping that we can really develop this, but it would help to know where we're at.
So, while I don't think right this second is the time
for
me to expand on all of this, I think there is more that is happening with restorative justice, but 180 is an amazing program, and they give us a ton of data, and they give us a lot of information.
Great.
So that is, you'll be wowed.
Great. I look forward to be wowed. Okay, so a motion to approve resolution number 63.
Move.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Resolution number 80, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county for New York Communications Company. This is Ulster County Sheriff.
Moved.
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion?
It's our radio system for the cars.
Okay. Any other discussion? Motion to approve resolution number 80.
Moved.
Aye.
All in favor?
Aye. Sorry.
Chaos and confusion. I will not have it. Okay. Resolution number 81, approving the execution of a contract amendment in excess of $50,000 entered by the company for Morpho Trust USA Incorporated, Ulster County Sheriff.
Motion for discussion?
That's our live scan.
Second.
Okay. Any other discussion on resolution number 81? Motion to approve resolution number 81.
Make a motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Beautiful. Now we are on to some old business. After I... Oh, sorry. I've got to go back to 31. Thank you. I put it right over here. Andy is not here, but we have resolution number 31 authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to enter into an agreement with New York State Division of Criminal Justice Service for the Aid to Public Defense Program. This is also annual and state pass-through. Motion for discussion?
Moved.
Second.
Okay, any discussion on this? I had some questions for Andy, but he's not here.
Just if it helps, it's a $13,000 grant from DCJS to support a public defender at city court to try and make it so that only one defense counsel represents an individual from the beginning of a case to the very end of a case. It's also a little bit of it goes towards advocacy for alternatives to incarceration.
So how does this work with the Harold Herring money?
Separately, there are several streams of grant funding from various state agencies.
That's really all I wanted to know.
DCJS.
Okay.
That frankly support quite a bit of the public.
Okay.
Council.
We never send any money back. We take it.
For Harold. Okay. A motion to approve resolution number 31.
Move it.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. 31. Ah. Wait, which one is this?
Get behind. Golden.
Oh, sheesh, the bibbles. Boom. Okay. Okay. So, some old business. At the end of 2019, there was the formation of a criminal justice reform task force. Its first meeting is scheduled for Wednesday, February 19th, so that's coming up. Right now, the members that are on it are the District Attorney David Clegg, Public Defender Andy Kossover, Lieutenant Joseph Sciuto, representing Sheriff Figueroa, Alderwoman Rita Worthington, Probation Director Nancy Schmidt, myself, Chairman David Donaldson, who will call the first meeting, and we're still waiting for a minority leader appointment, so I don't know if you want to find out about that.
Okay.
But that's a really, that's an extremely important group. I'm really excited about that conversation, and there's a lot we have to discuss, so I think it'd be great if, I mean, I don't know if you want to be on it, but, you know, I think I'm...
Minority leader.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. There's a lot to dig into in terms of the criminal justice reform. I will say, personally, I am not, it's not criminal justice reform I would love to see. I would like to see criminal justice transform. I think it's been 30 years behind, and I'm really looking forward to seeing how we can be making inroads that are impressive across the state, if not the country, in what we do here. And I think that this is the year to do it.
Open to the public?
What?
Will that be
I assume so.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's here.
And it's in this room? Or yes. It's in this room. Yeah. So that's a good meeting to attend. It's going to be great. Okay. And new business. So there was a discussion about some tours. So one was there were a few legislators who were asking about law enforcement tour and were thinking maybe a restorative justice center tour and anything else that anyone else can think about. So we have this option. We could schedule these tours on their own, or we can have our committee meeting, you know, do the tour and have our committee meeting at one of those locations when we're doing it. Just curious if there's a preference. It does make for a bit of a longer, but it's also one shot where you're coming once and you don't have to come again. So do you have a preference either way? No?
No.
Okay. So
there were numerous new legislators that requested this, not just from the...
Right. So we'll work out some potential dates and let everyone know.
All come in a group
yeah.
And get it all
Yeah, no, that's the intention. It's okay. Just then those of us who are on the committee will just stay afterwards and have our meeting, and any of them want to stay or go.
But I just wanted to check on whether they wanted to tag on the meeting. And is the Restorative Justice Center, is that, what do you think about that as a place for a tour, and could a meeting be held there if we did it?
I think if it's on a Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, after 5 o'clock, that's when we're closed, so I don't have to worry about confidentiality mm-hmm. of kids and whatever happening at the same time. So that would be fine. We'll just stay open. Monday, Wednesday, we're open till 7, so we, and like tonight, we're so busy. Mm. There's so many people coming in. That just makes it tough because...
Understood.
It's uncomfortable.
So it would not make sense to tag on a meeting with that. That would have to be its own thing. Yes.
And the other issue is that now that we have Public Works meeting, this name night is long
but what works out nicely is that now we have Thursdays and Fridays.
Yeah, I would
Thursday
suggest
and
that
Monday
maybe
free.
We move this meeting one month
when we
to
do
a
that.
Thursday.
Okay.
And do it
then
that
we do
way.
Both
then
ways.
We don't interfere with
right.
That's a good point. Thank
like
you, Dean.
Dean and I have to do Public Works.
Right. Perfect. Right. Perfect. All right. So we'll work that out
we'll work.
And then
yeah,
let
no
everyone
problem.
In the right. legislature know about those dates if they want to do it. So I, you know, I asked the other members, the guests, to talk about things that they're looking forward to for 2020, but for committee members, I would love to hear if there's anything in particular that you find is an important, something important that you would like us to handle this year.
Yes, this year and, you know, the next couple of years, now that we have a new district attorney, a new sheriff, I think Ulster County has gotten off to a good start with this opiate addiction throughout Ulster County. I myself have a daughter who struggled with it for 5 years, who's doing very well for the past 2.5 years. And I like the approach of the not punishment but helping. That was key for her. And made her more open to come forward, and I would like to see that work continue. And you know, whatever we can do to make that continue, whether it be with more money, with more committees on it, that's very important because I can tell you, in Ulster County here, that is a definite. I'm out and about a lot, being in politics and that, and it's a nightmare for so many people in this county.
Yes.
And as a parent, I wouldn't wish it on any parent. Believe me, I went through it for 5 years, so if we could continue to work on that, I think that would be an awesome, awesome thing with our new DA and our new sheriff.
Great.
That's
and
my goal.
Probation is part of this, too. Anything else, Dean, that you want to add? Okay.
I just think supporting our law enforcement, DA's office, and whatever they might need to be able to do the best job keeping Ulster County safe, that's what we're here to do. Looking forward to continuing to partner. Of course, I'm, you know, interested in seeing how this new opioid situation with the jail also works itself out. Hopefully, it'll be very successful as you move towards it.
But we just started the 15th. We originally had 2 females and 2 males. We're now up to 4 males and 2 females. So.
And you started it already.
Okay.
On January 15th.
January 15th is day 1.
Good. And, you know, not even as it works in the jail, but the looking at it in its entirety and how we're going to follow through with that also is very, very
we're
important.
We're working hand-in-hand with the county and
yeah.
the county health department. We have counseling services starting, and we're going to follow them out the door for at least a year.
Hmm. We're also, like, social services is coordinating
yes.
with the sheriff so that as people are being released, they can go
insurance
right
services.
On to Medicaid, and there's no gap in that treatment.
So the biggest issue, though, and this, Sabina, you brought it up, is housing. And what I mean by housing is that putting them back in the same environment that they were in triggers their addiction. So we're trying to work with Family of Woodstock. We had a meeting last Monday to try and get them into a location where it's away from those trigger environments.
It's definitely something that our county lacks.
Yes.
Sober living facilities,
yes.
transitional living,
mm-hmm.
and integrating
quality.
People, sure,
too.
And integrating them back into society. That's, you know, that and detox facilities also. So with that being said.
Definitely heard of places that we send them to. They have more drugs in the places that they're going
exactly.
to.
Yeah.
As a
And that's what was good for my daughter is that my she had a good structured home. So we didn't really have to look forward, look towards it. We did in the beginning. And like the sheriff just said, I'm sad to say, a lot of those places, they don't work. I mean, they come home okay for 4, 5, 6, 8 weeks, and then boom. So I felt, my personal story going through it was, her best environment was home, because she had a good home and she had good structure. Unfortunately, a lot of these kids don't have that. And so that's why I think she's okay today. But yeah, but they need to go to a safe place, you know.
John or John?
No, I think this is only my second year on law enforcement, as I came in halfway through this year, so I look forward to continuing to learn. What I've enjoyed the most about this committee has been the open participation from law enforcement and probation and the DA and the public defender's office. I hope to continue that. I think that is will be the key to our success as we go through some of the journeys we have ahead of us, adapting to the justice reforms that I agree with our chair are far past due in many ways, but also pose things that we're going to have to work through together and be supportive of each other on. So I look forward to continuing those type of partnerships and that level of communication that I think is key, especially to a community topic such as law enforcement and public safety.
Well, my good friend brought up the opioid problem. Dealing with this at this level for a number of years, I actually ran into the sheriff a week or two ago up in the mountains in Margaretville, where people are groping for help. And quite frankly, I think the state has done a pretty good job of starting to make, and the communities have started to make the recovery, the treatment, the counseling services available. However, there's nothing that I really see about prevention. And my feeling is, we all have to work together, but we have to look at this as an infrastructure problem. It's no different than if a bridge is crumbling, or the road's deteriorating, or whatever else is happening. It's an infrastructure problem. And
can you explain what you mean by that?
So that, pardon?
Can you explain what you mean by that? It's an infrastructure problem.
Can you elaborate?
Can you elaborate, she means?
Well, the people, the situation that is occurring is in our structured community is no different than a road or a bridge. They're part of it. They're part of what makes us a community, makes us families, make us whole. And everybody in these governments wants somebody else to help them. The village wants the town wants the county wants the school district and the county want the state, and the state wants the federal government. Somewhere along the way, we're all going to have to pony up and be part of the community. And I think I even heard you mention the community. It's going to have to be, in my opinion, obligations that we're going to have to talk about somewhere down the road, because prevention is now where we have to start focusing, in my opinion. And some of you know I always preface my remarks when people ask me, how did I get involved in this, 6 or 7 years ago? And it was not there was not a lot of awareness then, even that it was happening. And I always tell folks that when I became first thinking about it and involved with it, was not because of the situation that you had, not because somebody in my family or really close had a problem that I knew of, because you never know. But it was because of my job. And my job is chatting with people, and I'd be chatting with somebody 2 days later, they're dead. And I go, what the hell happened? and more it was happening. Last week, 2 weeks ago. I know one of the fellas up at the meeting last week said, well, John, you know, the deaths are down. Because there's an awful lot of medicines and training and availability of the Narcan and whatever else you have to have. People are responding. But we got a serious, serious problem. I don't see it going away right away.
Yes, and with it, when it starts going down, we have other drugs that are just coming in behind it. Yes.
It's up in Delaware County. The next drug that we heard before is the meth.
Yes,
yeah.
Meth is coming, coming on strong
up there. And John's right about the awareness and prevention. Some of the schools don't even let anyone discuss this at their high schools, which is a shame because they need to be educated. So I don't know if you know, John, we have a trailer that we take out. We rolled it out at the county fair, and it's a prevention awareness. And we did it at the fair. We do it at festivals because if you make that the focal point, no one's going to come because they're ashamed of it. But if you put it at the fair, when they're walking by, like, oh, I think this person has a problem. Most people, like you said, don't even know that their kids have an addiction. But in this trailer, which was, by the way, donated by people that lost their kids, they put donations to the Sheriff's Foundation. We were able to purchase this and then donated it to the county. It's a mock bedroom and bathroom. It shows people what to look for. It also gives them phone numbers to call, and we go through the Narcan training there, too. So when they walk out of there, they kind of have an idea of what to look for. And I can't tell you, I think we ran about 500 people this year through it, and a good percentage of them, like, wait a minute, I saw those broken Q-tips in the bathroom. I couldn't figure out what it is. Now I know what it is. I think, you know, my loved one may have a problem. But that's just a small part of it. You know, reaching out to these schools and really making people aware of what's going on is important.
Well, you know, if I might, 2 years ago, some of the folks that you're talking about sponsored a program at Dietz at Kate Walton Fieldhouse. It happens to have been a legislative session night. There were about 2,100 people there, mommies and daddies and grandmas and grandpas and counselors and people that were having problems, begging for help. And they brought some chap in from the Boston Celtics who had screwed his life up, you know. It was a great theater, a great show. And not to be ever critical, but there weren't many public officials there. And someday I'll run into you again someday.
Yeah, I'll say because, I did the training in the van.
Because
it was
I have some real thoughts on it.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
Real thoughts.
I never did it.
That might scare most folks away. Okay. So I got to start slow.
Mark?
I do want to just add that, you know, with the Department of Health and with this Columbia Healing Communities grant, one of the interventions that the Prevention Council identified and that we are really focusing on that has to do with prevention is prescribers and just getting the rate of opioids that are being prescribed by the doctors down. And that is one of the main pathways to get there.
But. Yes. So I will add that there is, just for the rest of you, if you're not as familiar with it, there is an opioid strategic task force that's many of the people in this room do sit on. I'm on that myself, as well as people on this side of the room. And it is a pulling together of people who are providing these services across the county with the efforts of finding ways of understanding what's being done and what needs to be done. There's a lot of organizations that have grants and have efforts to work on this. It just still needs some coordination. The Columbia Heal money is very useful. We're trying to figure out how to strategically use it. It has to hit levels. It has to hit criminal justice as well as physical health and behavioral health. So we're going to figure out where the criminal justice spot is. I'll say for myself personally, in terms of things I want to go forward, not to get too much into the bail reform, but you know,
one of the things I've heard in many places is if we are clearing people out of the jail that has all these wonderful services, then where are people who are addicted going to get these services? I think we have pretrial, we have other ways of making sure without having to go to jail that people can be treated. And so finding, and we're going to use that HEAL support from Columbia University to really hopefully look at pretrial and figure out how to do coordinated services that way. As well as find ways to involve pharmacies, which have been very challenging because we have a lot of commercial pharmacies. The local pharmacies are very responsive, but the ones that are a part of larger corporations in terms of having drop boxes and doing things, you know, outreach are not. There is an effort, and, you know, anyone can come to these opioid strategic planning meetings. There is one of the work groups will be for prevention, and I'm very interested. I don't know if, I mean, Nancy might be the only one who has been here as long as I have, but we had a curriculum for HIV prevention called Youth in Action that worked in all of the different schools, and I would love to, and it was very successful for HIV prevention and education, working with every single high school, and I think that we could even potentially use that same curriculum, but use substance abuse and opioid abuse.
Can you just mention that Ulster Prevention Council does do education? They have some
right. I have them on my to mention that too.
The schools.
Yeah, yeah. So, and Ulster Prevention Council could use, you know, that is one very small entity that has just some OASIS money to do what they do, but there's a lot more that has to be done. But it is true, prevention is often ignored. I'm also personally interested in looking more on our community corrections program and how we can expand that. I'm only learning about it recently that we have one, and I think it could be a very useful tool for alternatives. Do we still have that? We don't have it.
Talking about the CCP. Residential program
no.
or the community service?
No, community corrections.
Yeah.
So
we have the community corrections community building with community service out
of
it.
Oh, okay.
But the community corrections program that was the residential piece. Okay.
Well, so maybe we need to have that again, especially with the bail reform.
Tell
yeah. And I'm also... we were going to have to explore over time the use of the jail, and I think that'll come up because there'll be more space, and there's a lot of ways that we can, it could be used innovatively. And I know Juan has some ideas. No ideas? And I also am very interested in the whole arraignment and centralized arraignment and how we deal with those kinds of situations of people who have come to the attention, who are arrested in the middle of the night. So there's a lot of things that we can look forward to. Thank you for all sharing your interests, and hopefully we can start chipping away at some of these things more and more. With that, I'll take a motion to adjourn.
Move it.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.